Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, you're about to get smarter in just a few minutes with Curiosity Daily from Discovery. Time flies when you're learning super cool stuff. I'm Nate.
And I'm Callie. If you're dropping in for the first time, welcome to Curiosity, where we aim to blow your mind by helping you to grow your mind. If you're a loyal listener, welcome back.
Today, you'll learn about how ADHD might have actually helped our ancient ancestors thrive, the way pollution makes it hard for nighttime pollinators to stop and smell the flowers, and a new study that suggests lions, tigers, and other big cats can tell who's talking to them.
Without further ado, let's satisfy some curiosity.
All creatures that move, including humans, forage. That is, we spend lots of our time scouring out for resources like food, water, and, yes, mates. It's a behavior that has been crucial for survival and has even influenced the evolution of intelligence.
Right, because if you can outsmart the stuff you're foraging and all the other foragers out there, then you have an advantage. So all those creatures that were better at piecing together the clues of where to forage, what to forage for, and when to go on the hunt ended up being selected. So, I mean, something like that?
Yeah, exactly like that. If you're really good at foraging for resources, you tend to have a higher survival rate. If you have a higher survival rate, you tend to produce more offspring. And the cycle goes on and on. And that is what makes this new study on the possible evolutionary benefits of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder so fascinating.
Wait, so the study is saying there's some evolutionary advantage that led to ADHD being passed down from generation to generation?
Yep. So we all think about attention deficit hyperactivity disorder as, well, a disorder. As we all probably know, that's because it's a condition that's mostly characterized by trouble maintaining attention. The impulsiveness and hyperactivity it causes can really disrupt everyday life. It makes it really hard to focus.
Yeah, and our world is kind of built around focus, isn't it? Whether we're staring at a computer all day or sorting packages or working in a factory, most of our livelihoods, yeah, for the most part, depend on our ability to focus on the task in front of us.
Well, that's right, but that wasn't always the case.
Okay, so foraging isn't exactly about focus, is it?
Well, that's what the researchers wanted to know. They had a hunch that ADHD might have actually been a sort of special superpower for our foraging ancestors.
So the question we always ask, how did they test this hypothesis?
Great question. It comes down to something called early departure. According to foraging theory, if the forager is sifting through, say, a patch of blueberries, and they see that they're about to gobble them all up, well, they have a couple choices. They can stick around and just eat until they're all gone, or they can head over to the next patch where the berries are plentiful.
Okay. I'm going to reason this out. If they stay, they know about how much food they have left. But if they leave, it's a bit uncertain, but there's a good chance they'll have more. But I guess it depends on how far away the next patch is, right?
That's good reasoning. So let's talk about the study a little bit and get back to the blueberry patch in a minute. Study participants were asked to make foraging decisions where they had to choose between staying in a depleting patch to collect rewards or move to a new patch. Simple, right?
Not as simple as I would have thought before hearing about the foraging theory.
Yeah, that makes sense. So participants were also given an ADHD self-report screening assessment to measure their level of ADHD-like symptoms.
Sure. So what happened?
Well, as you predicted, participants generally left resource patches sooner when travel times were shorter.
Yeah, I mean, if a full berry patch is just right there, why not take advantage?
Yes, but those with ADHD or higher levels of ADHD-like symptoms left their patches significantly sooner than the others, and they got higher reward rates as a result.
Wow, okay, so the idea is that their ADHD led them to wander a bit more quickly than the others, which actually made them more successful foragers?
That's right. They say this could challenge our conventional view of ADHD as merely a disorder. It could also represent an adaptation that favors exploration over exploitation.
A shift in perspective like that seems like it could also lead to different ways to manage the condition in our modern, non-foraging world.
Right. If it's an adaptation, perhaps we focus less on eliminating it from those who are affected and focus more on strategies to manage it.
Under the veil of night, a secret dance unfolds in woodlands and deserts that is absolutely essential for the survival of these ecosystems. And while that might be an extra poetic way to start a story about moths and other insect pollinators, the stakes actually couldn't be higher.
Ah, yes. Insects are the unsung heroes of just about every ecosystem. I read somewhere that if you combine all the insects in the world, they'd weigh more than all the humans. Is that right?
It's actually an understatement. So if you add up all the humans and all the world's farm animals, you'd start to get close to the weight of all the creepy crawlers out there. And while most of us think of insects as pests we need to control, every single ecosystem on the planet would have a hard time surviving without them. In fact, by some estimates, the amount of work they do just to control other pests would be worth around $400 billion a year.
That's not something you always think about, that insects have a role in controlling other insect populations.
Totally, but it's all about balance, right? And we've talked before on the show about some of the threats our insects are facing. From shifting climates to changing and degrading habitats, some scientists think around 40% of insects could be extinct by the end of the century.
Oof, that would be devastating.
Yeah, well, I've got more bad news. A new study has found that airborne pollution could be making it difficult for all those nighttime pollinators to find their flowers.
Nighttime pollinators?
Yeah. It turns out lots of insects do their dining at night, and there are a lot of night-blooming flowers, like gardenias, honeysuckles, lilacs, jasmine, and pale evening primrose. Their scents kind of waft out into the night to attract insects like hawk moths and tobacco hornworms, some bees, and these little guys called antlions.
Got it. So pollution is somehow keeping the bugs away? Or is it just overpowering the smell of the flowers? What's going on?
So early studies have shown that pollution in the form of airborne chemicals had a pretty big impact on the hornworm's ability to locate flowers. But those studies were primarily lab-based, and this research team wanted to dig a little deeper by going out into the field.
Right, a real-world study. That makes sense. So is the pollution basically making the air stinkier than the flowers? Is it masking the scent that would otherwise attract the bugs? Is this like when you go to the mall and you smell the Cinnabon, but then you walk by a department store and the Cinnabon is just covered up by the perfume counter smell?
Okay, I like the logic, but not exactly. The research took place in a sagebrush patch where nighttime pollinators, like the ones I mentioned, worked to pollinate the pale evening primrose. They found that nitric radicals, which is a common pollutant, actually broke down the monoterpenes in the aromas of plants.
So the Cinnabon isn't covered up. It's basically just vented out, so it never reaches you in the first place.
Exactly. It's like the scent of a flower is sort of a thread that connects the insects to the bloom, but that thread is snipped by these nitrate radicals. The researcher said it was like the insects had COVID and had just sort of lost their ability to smell.
So on top of climate change and habitat degradation, we have to add pollution to the list of problems facing our insects.
And if there's a problem with our insects, there's going to be a problem with our food supply. The insects are like the canary in the coal mine for the health of our planetary ecosystems. The researchers say this should hammer home the need for awareness and action to mitigate the effects of pollution, not just for the sake of nocturnal pollinators, but for the entire web of life that depends on them. And that includes us.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Anyone who has ever loved a cat, and probably most people who haven't, knows that our feline friends have a reputation for being solo acts. They aren't exactly always eager to hear what their people have to say.
Ha, sure, not exactly. When you talk to a puppy, you can see them trying with everything they've got to understand what you're saying. The little cocked head, the floppy ears, the curious eyes. But with cats, they kind of just pretend you don't exist.
That's one way to put it. Well, a new study is suggesting that cats, even large species like lions, leopards, and tigers, have a little more social acuity than we might imagine.
It's kind of funny because we don't often think of cats as actually lacking the ability to be social. It's sort of like we think they have what it takes to socialize. They just choose not to, right?
That's what I've always assumed. So I know what you mean. While that may not be entirely accurate, most species of big cats do in fact tend to be rather solitary. This new study found that even non-social wild cats probably have complex cognitive abilities that are related to social recognition. So to explain that, let's talk about this study.
We're doing an entire story on the research on the social abilities of cats. I love it.
Okay, so the researchers studied 24 cats across 10 species. The animals were exposed to 5 different audio recordings of human voices saying the phrase, "Good morning, how are you doing today?" The first 3 recordings were voices they had never heard before. The 4th voice belonged to someone familiar to them, like their keeper or handler. And the 5th voice went back to being unfamiliar.
So I would guess that they were watching for the cat's reactions to each voice, right?
Exactly. They looked for things like gaze shifting, head movement, and vocalizations. And they found that the cats responded way more to the familiar voices.
Okay, so on the surface, that seems sort of intuitive. I know all my friends who have cats at home, myself included, can call their little guys to dinner, and it sure seems like they recognize their owner's voice. But I don't know what to think about the fact that wild large cat species can recognize individual voices.
You're making exactly the right point. Some researchers thought that house cats developed the ability to differentiate between voices through domestication, but this study implies that's probably not the case, or at least it's a little more complicated than that.
So why would tigers need to be able to tell the difference between different people who are speaking?
All right, well, they think it might not have anything to do with people specifically, but in the ability to differentiate sounds in general. So it would be advantageous for even a solitary cat to be able to recognize the mewing of its own kitten, or to be able to interpret the different kinds of warning cries from other animals in its habitat.
That makes sense. Just like it would need to be able to differentiate smells or sights or tastes, the ability to tell the difference between very specific sounds is equally important.
Yep, and the recognition wasn't influenced by whether the cats were raised by humans or by their own mothers. It didn't matter their sex or whether or not they heard their own names. The results were surprisingly clear-cut. But even with the small sample size, researchers say this study challenges our preconceived notions about big cats and their supposed indifference to the presence of humans.
Kitties.
I do feel that Discovery should send us into the field to do some personal research. Like
I know several big cat facilities we could go to.
See, we have inns.
Yeah.
Some of them even know Callie's sister.
They do. She worked there for a long time.
See? They are less likely to try to consume us.
Listen.
It's fact.
I want to go. Let's go. We have to meet them.
Yes. Discovery should be funding this. They should be asking us if they could fund, like begging us, really. Let's recap what we learned today to wrap up. A new study suggests that ADHD traits could actually be the result of evolutionary adaptations that helped our early ancestors successfully forage for resources.
Industrial pollutants are making it nearly impossible for nocturnal pollinators like moths to detect the scent of night-blooming flowers, threatening the delicate balance of ecosystems that rely on these unseen nighttime interactions.
Researchers have discovered that big cats, from tigers to cheetahs, can distinguish between familiar and unfamiliar human voices. Curiosity Daily is produced by Wheelhouse DNA for Discovery.
You can follow our show wherever you get your podcasts, and we would love it if you could take a second to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.